Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
When Jesus wanted to describe a kind of joy that surpassed all circumstances, he used the word blessed. And it might surprise you what qualities of life truly bring blessedness. Stay tuned next with Dr. Chappell as we study on Daily in the Word, the life God blesses. Pretty much everybody wants to be happy. We all long for an inner joy and delight, a sacred blessedness that rises up above every bad day and every season of discouragement. And that's the kind of word Jesus used when he described the joy he brings throughout the circumstances of life. He used the word blessed. And today, on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the life God blesses, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's probably going to surprise you what God truly calls blessed. Before we join the program, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to Dr. Chappell's newest resources and books and many other things to help you along in your spiritual growth and your walk with God. And so, dailyintheword.org, it's a resource, a treasure box of resources for your spiritual growth. Right now, let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Today, we discover that there is blessedness in meekness. Here's Paul Chappell.
The title of our current series is The Life God Blesses. And as we grow in the Christian life, it becomes obvious that the life God blesses is a far cry from this world's definition of success. What God says is blessed and what the world says is blessed are two totally different things. You see, our world today worships power and worships notoriety. Bookstores are filled with books on quick formulas to success and how to assert ourselves and how to take the lead in life. And our society today really tends to reject any evidence of weakness. It might be in the form of a losing sports team. And boy, when the team is winning, the fans are right there and wearing the colors and yelling and screaming for the team to go forward. But when the team starts to lose, Americans seem to lose interest. I think our society has shown its despising of the weak, even in recent days, with this new phenomenon called euthanasia. It seems as though as long as you have health and as long as you have prosperity, as long as you have money, then people are interested. But our country seems to be despising the weak to the point that when someone is elderly and perhaps somewhat immobile, we really don't seem to care anymore. And in fact, many people in our society today consider someone who is a Christian as being weak. And we are here today, some would say, because we need a crutch. And that crutch is religion. Thank God we're not here today because of a crutch. We're here today because of a cross. And we don't need a crutch today, but we do need the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the world looks at us and the world views what we're doing today as some form of weakness. Now, God blesses, according to verse 5, meekness. Blessed are the meek. And God blesses meekness in the lives of His people. Now, meekness is not weakness. And if you want to jot down a definition of meekness this morning, it can be defined this way. Meekness is power under control. Meekness is power under control. Now, God, for example, has given us the ability to become angry. And God says when that anger is under control and it is in the form of a righteous indignation towards wrongdoing, then that can be of God. But when anger is out of control, it can cause a tremendous problem. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. Now, the greatest example of power under control was Jesus Christ on this earth. And I want you to turn with me to Philippians just for a moment. And I want you to see by way of introduction the greatest illustration of meekness that the world has ever known in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. In Philippians 2 and verse number 5, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi in a portion of Scripture that is new to me every time I read it. It refreshes me every time I see it. And it says in Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, who was equal to God. Jesus Christ, who called the world into existence. The Bible says, the one who had all power, the one who says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. The Bible says that he humbled himself and he took upon him the form of a servant. And Jesus, as he modeled for us servant leadership, humbled himself to the point that one day he walked up Calvary's hill and was crucified for our sin. He had all power. He could have called 10,000 angels and said, take me away, I am not going to stay. But in holy meekness, with power under control, he went up Golgotha's hill and was crucified for our sin. Now the Greek word for meekness is an interesting word to study. And in one way, that word was used in the first century to describe a farmer who was breaking in a colt or a horse. And when that horse was broken and when that horse was being used in the farming days, then oftentimes they would say, this horse is a meek horse. Now the horse was strong and the horse was agile and the horse was able to do much work, but it was power under control. Now, I know a lot of Christians who are wild stallions. And I think that if we want to be more like the Lord, we want to say, Lord, give me strength and even power in the right sense of the word, but control it by your Spirit and be used, Lord, in my life to do what you want to do. Now, I would give you, first of all, this morning, if you're taking notes, some examples of meekness from the Bible. Some examples of meekness from the Bible. And the first example that I see in the Scriptures is Abraham's life in Genesis 13. And I would ask you to turn there this morning as we study this subject of meekness today. Genesis 13 and verse number 7. The Bible tells us of Abraham, and you are familiar with the fact that God had called him out of his land. God had called him to go unto another country. And so he leaves his hometown, and he goes to follow God. And the Bible tells us that as they arrive in this land, that there is now beginning a confrontation between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. And in Genesis 13 and verse 7, the Bible says, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. By the way, this is the mark of a mature Christian. Let there be no strife. We be brethren. Verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I'll go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. Now, in Genesis 13, we have the herdsmen of Lot and we have the herdsmen of Abraham doing that which is seen in corporate America today, that which is seen in families today, and that which is even seen at times in the religious realm today. And what they are really doing is what can be called power posturing. the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot are seeing this well-watered plain. And they're beginning to lay claim on what they wanted. They're beginning to argue. They're beginning to positionalize themselves so that they might have that which they want to have. And Abraham displays incredible meekness, because Abraham was the heir, if you will. He was the owner to the entire plain. And Abraham had the power to tell Lot to get in the back of the line, and Abraham could have relegated Lot to just another servant if he wanted to. But in a great illustration of meekness, power under control, Abraham says, "Lot, you choose which way you want to go, and I'll go the other way." And so Abraham illustrates what the Bible tells in Romans 12:10 to be the pattern of normal Christian living. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Someone is blessed, the Christian rejoices. There's a decision to be made regarding who should have what, and we say, "I want you to go first. I want you to go first. I want you to be blessed." And when we are surrendered to God, we are not afraid to surrender to another person in meekness. Abraham is an illustration of that. There's another illustration, and that is in the life of Joseph, and that's in Genesis chapter 38 and 39. And perhaps you've studied the life of Joseph. Joseph, as you may recall in your Bible study, was a man who was sold into slavery by his brothers. Here is a man in Genesis 38 and 39 who was just trying to please his dad, just trying to do what he'd been asked to do, and for that, he is sold into slavery. Once he arrives into this foreign land, the Bible records for us that he's doing his best to work and he's doing his best to serve the king. And yet, the Bible tells us that the king's wife lied about him. And you'll recall how that Potiphar's wife said that Joseph had done something that was wrong, when in fact he had not done anything that was wrong. And so Joseph was a man who had been sold into slavery, a man who had been lied about. And yet Joseph does not start a letter-writing campaign or a fight-back organization. He does not call the fight-back man on from the television. He doesn't try to get some kind of a campaign going. No, in meekness, he trusts the Lord. And in meekness, power under control, he continues on serving God. And one day, the Bible tells us in Genesis 39 that Joseph was placed into a position of authority. God, seeing the faithfulness of the man, and in spite of all of the trials and difficulties, places Joseph into a position of great authority in the land. And you'll recall how that his brothers came to help. And you'll recall how that they were coming now to get some food to take back to their father, not knowing that Joseph was the man who was in power. And you'll recall how that Joseph now was in a great seat of authority, and Joseph could have had revenge. Joseph could have said, "Nuts to you, boys." Joseph could have thrown them in jail. Joseph could have taken their lives. Listen to me, he had the power. But it was power under control. And here the Bible tells us that Joseph, instead of seeking revenge, helps his brethren. And Joseph, with a heart of tender mercy, helps his father's household. Please hear this statement. Meekness reveals itself when we are right and have the power to hurt someone who is wrong. Meekness reveals itself when we are right and have the power to hurt someone who is wrong. And you see, in Joseph's life, he had the power and he was right and they were wrong. But he said, "God, I want you to be pleased in my life and in my actions." And so Abraham is an example of meekness, and Joseph is an example of meekness. And then there's a third example, and if you want to jot the passage down, it's 1 Samuel chapter 24, and that's the example of David. And in this story, David is being pursued by Saul. And Saul is filled with wicked rage and jealousy. Saul does not want this man David to take over. And rumor had it that the people were going around saying that Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And Saul says, I'm going to take this David, and I'm going to take his life, and I'm going to get him out of the picture. And Saul, a man filled with jealousy, begins to chase around the countryside young David. He begins to do everything within his power to take the life of David. And in 1 Samuel 24, being pursued by Saul, the Bible tells us that on one occasion, David finds Saul sleeping in a cave. You talk about the makings for a great mystery movie. I can see them in that dark cave, and I can see now Saul as he is there in a very vulnerable position, and as David is there and he has the knife, and here's the man who has been murdering and killing and chasing and hating and hunting. And David could have had those feelings of rage and revenge. And David could have justified taking the life of Saul. And David certainly had the power physically to take the life of Saul. But you know what David does? David just cuts a little piece of the garment off of Saul. Just to say, Saul, I could have had you. And David exhibits power under control. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 24, he felt even a tinge of guilt for taking the garment from Saul. You see, meekness is power under control. And these are some biblical examples of meekness. Notice with me secondly this morning, though, not only examples of meekness, but the examination for meekness. The examination of our lives. And I want you to do a little study with me this morning. And perhaps if we would have asked you as you walk in, how do you think you're doing on meekness, 0 to 10? Some of you would have said, 6 or 7. Some of you said 8, maybe. And perhaps we would evaluate ourselves in a certain light. But how about if we evaluate ourselves in light of Scripture this morning? And let's turn to Psalm 37 for a moment for this examination today. There's no extra charge. We'll not pass the plate again. But let's do this examination, shall we? Psalm 37. And let's notice in verse number 1, this is the passage from whence the Lord Jesus quotes Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek. And you'll see that in just a moment. Matthew 5:5 is referred to from Psalm 37:1 and verse 11 as well. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now I would encourage you this morning to simply ask yourself, is your life, is your power under control? And how do you respond to stressful situations? How do I respond to circumstances in life that would bring about the ability for me to exercise emotion, to exercise some form of power? And as we ask these questions, I want you to just grade yourself a little bit this morning as we look to the Word of God. First of all, the first question, do I become angry or fretful easily? Do I become angry or fretful easily? The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself from the evildoer. Verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth. Now, a meek person is not going to have as his first response the fight back response. He's not going to be a person who's fighting for his cause or proving his point continuously. He's not going to be a person who is filled with fear constantly. The meek man, rather, focuses his attention on God and is content to let God settle the score. That's what the Bible says in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So, do I become angry or fretful easily? Now, if you want to score yourself 1 to 10, that's fine. Or you can answer the question yes or no. We're just taking a little examination here. Notice the second question. Do I accept God's word with delight? Do I accept God's word with delight? Am I really looking forward to the preaching when I come to God's house? Do I open up the Bible and say, God, give me something today? And the Bible says in James 1:21, lay aside filthiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. God says that a meek person will receive the word of God. It will be engrafted to their life. And the Bible says that you and I, as we're growing in meekness, we want the Bible. We want to learn what the Bible has to say. And we're humbling ourselves to God by saying, God, speak to my heart and work in my life. Do I accept God's word easily? You know, a lot of times people can come to church and because there's not Dolby Stereo and multicolor Panavision everywhere, and we find that our minds can wander. And yet, if we're accepting God's word readily, it is a sign that in our lives there is meekness. Now, it reminds me of the story of a little boy that came to church. Man, he did not want to be in Sunday school. He did not want to be there at all. And he was throwing a fit and running around the room, and he was doing everything he could to cause a disruption. And finally, the Sunday school teacher said, now look, I want you to sit down right here. Now sit down. Let's be still. Sit down. And the little guy sat down, and he looked up at that teacher. He said, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That's how some people come to church. I may be sitting in this pew, but I'm on the beach inside. And you see, they're not receiving the word with meekness. So how do we handle anger? How do we accept the word of God? And then thirdly, what is our attitude towards a sinning brother? Another way to know how your heart is in meekness, what is your attitude towards someone who's in sin? What is your attitude towards someone that's doing something wrong? Do you receive it gleefully with interest and delight? Is it something that you're excited to hear and share? Or do you receive it with a heavy heart? You know what the Bible says in Galatians 6:1? That when someone is erring in their way, we should restore them with a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves also, lest we're tempted. And the word restore means to set, as in the case of a broken bone. It means I want to set this back in order. I don't want to be gleeful. What is your attitude when someone says, hey, let me tell you about so-and-so. Or when you see a brother going a different direction, you say, ah, well, that's just what I thought all the time. Or is your heart a heart of compassion? Is your heart desiring to help set something back in order? What is your attitude towards a sinning brother? So how do we handle anger or fret? And then as we look into the Word of God, how do we receive the Word of God? And thirdly, the Bible speaks of meekness with respect to how do we have in our hearts, what is the attitude towards someone who's going away that they should not go? And I'm going to tell you something. The opposite of meekness is when we sort of delight in someone else's sin. We should be brokenhearted in a case like that. And then a fourth question. Do we seek unity with our brethren? Do we seek unity with our brethren in our homes and in our church and with other people of God?
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the life God blesses. You know, the most blessed life is a life that's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Lots of people are religious. Lots of people believe in God, but the Bible says the way to be born into Christ is to come to Him in faith, to trust Him, to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself, and to claim Him as your only Savior, to place 100% of your faith in Him. And friend, wherever you may be in this moment, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart to make that simple but important decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chapel invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.